You might believe, as many people do, that crab apples are too sour to eat. But that's just because most of us don't really know apples.
Adults pick up on the tart, kids pick up on the sugars in an apple, and this is a phenomenal quality crab apple.
Somewhere in the hilly farmland north of Cortez, Colorado, Jude Schunemeyer walks to the base of a tree called a transcendent crab.
It's sort of a golf ball-sized apple, got a tartness, high sugar content. You can park a kid in front of one of these trees, and they will not leave it. One of my kids' favorites, hands down.
Schunemeyer is a certified apple nerd in southwest Colorado, and he runs the Montezuma Orchard Restoration Project with his wife, Addie. Standing in front of the transcendent crab, he gazes lovingly up at the tree's witchy branches.
It's a big, big tree. It's sort of cracked in the center. The tree itself is probably 2 to 3 feet in diameter. And if you look down on the left side there, you can see the graft line. You see the actual physical scar from where Jasper Hall grafted this tree 100-and-something years ago. And Jasper Hall died here in 1915. You know, this tree is at least 110, and it could be 125 years old now, but it's still here.
In the late 1800s, a man named Jasper Hall started experimenting with different varieties of apple trees in this part of the state. He had orchards, he ran a nursery, and he shared his apple knowledge with anyone who was interested.
He was generous. He was like the trees themselves. You know, he gave and gave and gave. Because of his vision, we had an orchard economy here, growing some of the best quality produce ever grown anywhere.
Today, those efforts seem like a dead end. The orchard economy is almost gone here, and Jasper Hall's name is all but forgotten. From Magic City Studios and KSUT Public Radio, welcome to Territories, a multimedia podcast and audio time machine. I'm Adam Burke. In each episode, we explore hidden histories embedded in Colorado's most iconic landscapes. On today's episode, we look at the history found in the old orchards of southwest Colorado and one man's quest to turn the region into an apple mecca. Was Jasper Hall's life just an historic footnote, or was he a visionary ahead of his time? As with a lot of history, it depends on who you ask.
He was born right before the Civil War and grew up in the poverty after the war.
Jasper Hall was raised in the western foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. His family grew fruit trees there. But he didn't come to Colorado to plant orchards, at least not initially.
They came from Greene County, Tennessee.
Sheldon Zwicker is 80 years old and the great-grandnephew of Jasper Hall. In the 1880s, Zwicker says Hall joined other family members in the San Juan Mountains above Ophir, Colorado, where they established a mining camp.
The Halls were gold miners, and there were 13 in the Hall family in those camps. But they got diphtheria, and out of the 13, five of them come out alive.
Jasper Hall and his older brother Norman were among those five survivors. Losing so many family members so quickly must have been a very harsh lesson.
They died off up there trying to mine gold and not getting rich, and all of a sudden they decided there's something we know that we can do, and it ain't mining gold.
Brothers moved south to Montezuma County.
They kind of went back to their roots and started doing what they were raised doing and what they knew how to do.
They first planted orchards in the sandstone canyons west of Cortez, but soon Jasper Hall had his eyes on the hills north of the city. It was a gutsy move to plant apple trees at an elevation that might be too cold.
We are high altitude. We're probably 6,800 feet. This is really high for apple production. It's as high as anyone has ever attempted commercial apple production anywhere. But Jasper Hall was the person that understood that the Montezuma Valley was a dish and that cold air will flow down to the bottom of the dish. And then if you put orchards around this higher band, these shelves, these shoulders, slough the cold air away from them.
But there was another good reason to grow apples on the shoulders of those hills. They were close to the Denver and Rio Grande's new railhead in Dolores.
So all you had to do was haul produce up the road through the canyon and down into Dolores where you hit the train.
He was only in his 30s at the time, but Jasper Hall's life experience growing apples allowed him to see things in that arid landscape that others could not see.
And he understood the ground. He understood that there was great soil here. This is as perfect an orchard spot as exists anywhere.
His orchards were diverse, and he planted apple varieties we wouldn't recognize today. There was the Transcendent Crab and the Winter Banana. There was an apple called the Shenango Strawberry, which ripened in the middle of summer. And there were winter apples like the Thunderbolt that got better in storage and could last all winter long in a root cellar.
Jasper Hall was considered the fruit wizard of Montezuma County. He was an exceptional grower.
In 1904, Montezuma County fruit brought home several gold medals from the World's Fair in St. Louis, and the orchards were flourishing.
If you would have ridden your horse across here in the early 1900s, in May, you would have been riding through blizzards of apple blossoms.
But establishing a commercial apple economy in Montezuma County created a paradox, because it ultimately put growers in competition with apple producers everywhere. For decades following Jasper Hall's death in 1915, Montezuma County apple orchards continued to expand. But growers abandoned many of the heritage apple trees, and they focused on just a few varieties you can find in grocery stores today, the Jonathan, the Golden and Red Delicious. At first, commodity production helped them prosper.
When I was real young, apples was the main crop, main living for people around here.
67-year-old Conrad Hover grew up harvesting apples with his mom and dad, just a mile down the road from where Jasper Hall had lived.
I mean, there was a lot of trees in this area, and people was making a living at it, doing what they loved to do.
But eventually, Montezuma County couldn't compete with the huge orchards in Washington State and overseas. 15 years ago, after decades of diminishing returns, Conrad Hover bulldozed most of his apple trees.
It got there for a while where you couldn't hardly get rid of the apples and just wasn't really worth messing with them. And the last year, I ended up packing 1,200 bushel of apples out and fed to the cows, and I had enough.
What happened with apple growing in Montezuma County is a story that's played out nationwide over the last 125 years. At the end of the 19th century, there were as many as 20,000 different kinds of apples grown across the U.S. Today, experts estimate that two-thirds of those varieties have gone extinct. And many of the rarest apple trees that are still out there somewhere are barely hanging on.
These old trees are reaching the end of their lifespan. Every year, we're losing more of them.
John Bunker is an apple conservationist, aficionado, and historian based in Maine.
If this is our priority, and, you know, for some people, you know, they don't care. They're happy to eat Honeycrisp or whatever. But if it is a priority, if we do care about these elegant, fantastic, unique, heritage, historic, whatever you want to call them, heirloom apples, then we've got to find them now before they're gone.
Today, Bunker is a nationally recognized expert, but back in the 1970s, he was a novice. He had just graduated from college when he decided to move to an old woodlot in the town of Palermo, Maine.
So I bought this land very cheap with two friends at the age of 21. And all over town were these old apple trees. You know, I didn't know anything about them. I didn't know their names. I knew there was red ones and green ones, but I didn't know anything about them. So I stop and knock on people's door, say, you know, hey, I think you have a cool apple tree. Can I have some of the fruit? And they say, yeah, sure, yeah, take some fruit. And I had these bags and cardboard boxes, whatever. You know, I didn't have an apple ladder. I didn't have anything. I just thought these trees were really, really amazing. They're so old. And so next thing I know, they'd be out there with me. And it's like Gramps and Grandma came out to hang out with me. And then they told me about the apples. Oh, this is a Baldwin. This is like really great pie apple. Oh, and this is Wolf River. And this is Northern Spy. I'm like, holy moly, what are these things? And so I go visit these people and ask them about their trees and these people. And before long, I was beginning to actually recognize a few of them.
Bunker started taking cuttings of the varieties he liked and propagating them at home. He talked to old growers, read about apple lore in books, and launched a nursery to help bring back rare varieties. And over time, he came to appreciate the distinct qualities of heritage apples and the way that those apples were eaten by farmers 100 years ago.
They ate pies and sauce and apple butter, apple cake, apple bread, you know, apple this, apple that. And if you want to make a really great pie or make really good sauce, I mean, really good sauce, a really good pie, not a pie doused with cinnamon and nutmeg and cloves and sugar and whatever, but I mean like something that you can really taste the fruit and the fruit cooks to perfection. Those varieties, you can't get them in the grocery store. You can't even get them at most commercial orchards. But the best pie apples, they're still here. That's the amazing thing about it. Because generation after generation grafted these and passed them along, they're still here with us, and we can grow them again.
Bunker is the author of Apples and the Art of Detection, a book about searching for lost varieties and trying to find names for apples of unknown origin. Each year, people all over Maine bring him bags of apples to identify.
Some of them take years, and those are the mysteries. You know, there's apples that I have growing in our orchards because I love them so much, and I grafted them and planted them in our orchard 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. I still don't know what they are, but I'm working on it.
For most people, an apple is something you buy in the grocery store. You take a bite, you don't give it a second thought. But for an apple detective, that piece of fruit in your hand and the tree it came from are portals to the past.
I know at least a couple apple trees in Maine that are documented to be over 220 years old. That's twice as old as any person on Earth.
Bunker says rare apple trees are often hiding in plain sight. And even people who pass by one every day don't realize that the tree is a living historic artifact.
This is not like looking at a painting or sitting in a chair that you're not supposed to sit in. This is like eating the exact fruit that, you know, whoever, Benjamin Franklin or Thomas Jefferson ate. And in some cases, the same fruit from the same bloody tree.
See, that's already dead.
In an orchard south of Mancos, Colorado, Jude and Addie Schunemeyer are taking cuttings from an apple tree that is barely alive.
The tree doesn't have a lot of time left on it.
They snip off little pieces of growth, each the size of a birthday candle, and later they'll graft these onto rootstock.
This is what we use to make new baby trees.
They don't know what kind of tree this one is, but they do know from genetic testing it is extremely rare.
It's a lost apple.
It's one of the rarest apples on Earth.
And even if we never know its historic name again, it's still worthy of preserving.
There are just a few hundred acres of apple orchards left in Montezuma County. But the ground, the apple-loving earth, is still here. Jude Schunemeyer opens a gate at the headquarters of the Montezuma Orchard Restoration Project, the same land where Jasper Hall built his apple operation in the early 1900s.
When Jasper Hall lived here, everything we see below us for 45 acres was orchards.
The pasture now has dozens of tiny young apple trees, each one grafted from a cutting collected around southwest Colorado. Many of these varieties are quite rare, and some may be entirely unique.
This is a genetic bank. You know, this is our little ark. From this orchard, we're able to take these cultivars and get them back out to other new orchards. Without this place, these are not easy to bring back.
The Montezuma Orchard Restoration Project is focused on saving the heritage varieties of apple trees that were grown here in the early 1900s. And the project promotes growing apples the way Jasper Hall did, diverse orchards with fruit you can't find in grocery stores. It's a niche, Jude Schunemeyer says, can be profitable, even on small acreage. We head to a warehouse where Schunemeyer shows off a mobile juice press. It's a crucial piece of equipment that they hope will ensure revenue for local apple growers.
We realized years ago that if we were going to rebuild the fruit economy here, if we were going to get people to plant the next generation of 100-year-old trees and to take care of the old trees they had, we had to have a market for the fruit. Without this, we can't tie together everything that needs to be tied together to rebuild the economy.
In 20 years, the restoration project has had plenty of success. There are even little green shoots of an apple economy coming back here, like local cider makers willing to buy fruit. But rebuilding a regional apple economy in 2025 is hard, really hard. And there are some who believe it's impossible.
Most of our best growers are dead now, you know, or they're too old to do anything. So we're putting Humpty Dumpty back together again.
And even if they do put Humpty Dumpty back together, it's not clear that consumers will care. Most of us think we already know apples. They're something we buy at the grocery store. And if you've never tasted a transcendent crab, you have no idea what you're missing out on.
We've had apples that taste like wild honey, like curry. We've had apples that taste like butterscotch. We have apples that taste like vanilla. You get some that taste like sweet tarts. I mean, so many different subtleties depending on where they're grown. Consumers have gotten themselves to settle on just a few very basic varieties, and they miss out on so much of what's out there.
Jude Schunemeyer is not deterred by all of these obstacles. He is an ardent apple evangelist. He is a true believer.
The old Jasper Hall style orchards are absolutely a blueprint for how orchards can be grown in the future. He showed us what was possible here. If this place sucked, these trees would not be alive here 100 and something years later, okay? But they are here. That is as living of a testimony as you can have to how right he was about what he was doing. To have this body of work, to have this much experimentation, this many trials, this much heartache, this was a gift. Apple growing the orchards of Montezuma County are a gift to us.
The trees Jasper Hall left behind, the records he kept, the arc of his life story, you could see them as an historic dead end. You can also see these pieces of history as a map of what's possible here. A map that Jasper Hall rolled up more than 100 years ago, slipped into a bottle, sealed with a cork, and set adrift. A map that just might find its way into the future. You're listening to Territories, a history podcast produced by Magic City Studios in partnership with KSUT Public Radio. Support for Territories comes from the Colorado Housing and Finance Authority and from the Southwest Colorado Local Organizing Committee, working to commemorate Colorado's 150th anniversary of statehood. Find out more online at colorado150southwest.org. Special thanks this week to Jude and Addie Schunemeyer, Sheldon Zwicker, Conrad Hover, John Bunker, and The Studio in Portland, Maine. Thanks also go out to Tammy Graham, Ken Brott, and Mark Dugan at KSUT, and to Ellen Roberts and Ellen Babers in Durango for their support of this project. You can find out more about Territories, get involved with the project, and share your story ideas with us by visiting our website, theterritories.net. I'm Adam Burke. The landscape has many more stories to tell. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and join us next time for another journey in this audio time machine.